This is The Femme Fatale, a podcast whose weekly entertainment topics are decided by you, and only mostly you, along with my gentle royal nod. This week, like every other week, I take your questions about how Hollywood really works. See, I sift through your questions, not very carefully, and then I research them very, very carefully using the finest sources this business has to offer. I also throw in high-quality, handcrafted celebrity sightings and blind items when the mood suits. This week, I have a blind item that involves both a bad driver and a bad comedian. But under the good column, I can offer you the following. An interview with one of the most respected publicists in Hollywood on a celebrity-related practice that just may end up being one of the least known. I'll pause while you catch up there. Someone also wrote in asking about Portia de Rossi's face and what may have changed since Arrested Development was good. I mean, since Arrested Development was first debuted on the air. I have that answer, as well as hope for people who prefer vegan diets and perhaps more questions. In the meantime, I have with me as co-host, once again, Lisa Jenkins, that expert in the social media black arts. Lisa is back because we just experienced the penultimate episode of Game of Thrones, an episode so pivotal that it spurred my dad to say, wow, they're really knocking them off left and right there. Say hello, Lisa.
Hello, Lisa.
Really, Lisa? Really?
Isn't that old school and radio timey?
It's like, have a highball there. Before we get to the blind item, Lisa, I greet you formally. Oh,
thank you.
Yes, it is now time for the blind item. It's blind item time. A comedian is in this blind item. Comedic actor and a very respected stand-up. Been in this business for at least 15 years by my reckoning, if not longer. I am not a huge fan of this person, but many of my friends are. And by way of another hint, this comedian is usually named in the same breath as some of the best slash most influential stand-ups of the past decade or two, as well as some of the best stand-ups working today, as in, if you're a fan of David Cross slash Zach Galifianakis, you may associate this person in that high-quality vein, okay? This comedian is currently filming a movie out of town with some very big stars, and the other day, a spy of mine spotted this comedian driving the wrong way on a one-way street. To my knowledge, this person does not have any addictions, so I have no reason to think that this person was drunk or high on anything other than a healthy ego that can sometimes annoy me. Now, just in case you're wondering why this blind item is blind, because you people write in and say, why can't you just... Because I enjoy a lawsuit-free lifestyle. Driving the wrong way on a one-way street is technically a crime, and this person could sue me if my spy is perchance wrong, which he's not because he's rock solid. So anyway, blind item. Yay.
That's the most inoffensive blind item of all time.
Oh, come on. Why?
Next thing you know, it's going to be somebody took a parking spot from me at the grocery store parking lot.
If this person takes a parking spot from me, I'm naming names.
I don't think that's a crime.
It's not, but also
it's
I would...
rude.
It's then any... Then I will just call out that rudeness. So Lisa, read the first reader question.
Yes. Claude VL writes via Facebook.
What?
Great podcast as usual.
Of course.
Next, can you interview a publicist talking about internet, quote unquote, scrubbing services used on behalf of celebrities?
Okay, I have no problem with this question. In case you're wondering what Claude is talking about, let me background you first. Lisa, chime in if this is wrong, which means don't chime in because I'm not wrong. Online, the behavior or reputation of a star is usually not an accident. A star and his or her team, publicist, manager, whatever, can spend thousands of dollars maintaining that celebrity's reputation online, enhancing what kind of results come up in search engines when a fan searches for a name, monitoring comments on a celebrity, making sure they stay positive, if not entirely accurate, even vetting or writing tweets for a star who isn't particularly good at spelling, which, never mind, too easy. Now, I'm not just talking about like ghost blogging or maintaining a website or that kind of thing. I mean scrubbing the intertubes, as in working on content online so that bad mentions of a star get suppressed, pushed down in Google searches, while positive mentions, through sheer force of volume, are pushed to the top. Lisa, what am I missing?
I have done this once before.
Really?
For a big-name producer in Hollywood, who's probably the biggest name producer in Hollywood that is not like a household name.
Okay.
So Joe Average would be like, I don't know who that is, whereas probably a lot of other names, they'd be like, oh, I kind of recognize that.
Okay.
And this person has a volatile temper.
Really?
And
that's every producer in Hollywood. I know. But go ahead.
Had a terribly negative article in, I believe it was the New York Post or the New York Times.
Again, that's half a dozen people, but go ahead.
Yes. And when you typed in this person's name, it was literally like the first three pages of results.
Mm-hmm.
And vanity would not allow this person to allow that to stand.
Okay.
So even though I said, well, why don't you start doing more interviews where you're not a jackass?
Okay.
That was not what they wanted to do. So we created a number of SEO tricks, including launching a blog that was not by him because he was too busy,
mm-hmm.
but was about him, basically.
And everything was positive on it.
Yes.
And how long did it take volume-wise to get to the point where the positive stuff started showing up on Google above the negative stuff?
Not surprisingly, they grew bored with this project after roughly 3 months, and it was canceled.
So it never really
took
effect.
No.
But that's the kind of thing we're talking about, is sort of flooding the data stream out on the internet with so much good stuff that the bad stuff just gets pushed down. That's right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, to further answer this question, not that Lisa B did a bad job, because I think I would rate that a B plus. Mm-hmm. Plus.
Yeah, if I'd named names, that would have been an A.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I found one of the most qualified people in the world to answer this question. Howard Bragman, a very beloved publicist, one of my favorite publicists, also a veteran publicist at the firm 15 Minutes, and also vice chairman at Reputation.com. You know Reputation.com? Firm that makes people or businesses look their best online, all shiny, right? I threw Claude's question past Howard earlier this week. We are on with Howard Bragman, who is probably one of the most well-respected publicists in Hollywood. Can I say that? I think I can say that.
My mother does. Why shouldn't you?
And you also now sit on the board of Reputation.com. Is that correct?
I'm the vice chairman of Reputation.com. I'm not on the board.
Well, thank you so much for agreeing to do this interview. I think you'd be the perfect person to ask to answer this reader question. The reader is talking about a phenomenon known as internet scrubbing or reputation scrubbing on behalf of celebrities.
Right.
So I think my first question for you as a Hollywood power publicist who has worked with tons of celebrities is I want to know if it's common these days for an A-list star to employ someone either directly or via publicity firm or manager to maintain his or her reputation online.
Right. We're talking about maintaining, not scrubbing. Yeah, almost any person of any note has someone somewhere who is maintaining their online reputation, meaning their Facebook, their Twitter, their Instagram, their Tumblr, whatever else they're into. So in many cases, it's the celebrity themselves. Sometimes it's a personal assistant. Sometimes it's their traditional publicist does it, or a division within their PR firm. And sometimes it's an outside company that specializes in online reputation. But any celebrity that doesn't do that is you know, about 15 years behind the times.
You know, it's interesting because it seems to me like the younger the star, the more likely that they're doing things themselves and not looking too good doing it. So if we see a bunch of stars taking a bunch of crazy selfies and posting them on Instagram and stuff, does that just mean that whoever is in charge of their reputation has no power, or that there is no such person?
It means that people all think they're brilliant, okay, and that they know themselves best. And the good news is you can post something so quickly. The bad news is, boy, you can post something so quickly.
Exactly.
And it can go viral. I was just in a conversation with somebody about Justin Bieber.
Oh, my God.
Who I'm sure dislikes me a lot by now, because I've talked about him a lot on Good Morning America and et cetera.
What is his problem?
He's a 19-year-old who thinks he has nothing to learn and knows it all, and that's the problem. I'm a 57-year-old who has a lot yet to learn, and I love to learn, and I love to listen. And as I make mistakes, I learn from other people. But this is a kid who thinks he's brilliant, and sadly, the people around him are so interested in making a percentage of his money that they don't seem to have the willingness to help coach him and guide him and turn him into something that will someone who will have a career in 5 years, as opposed to someone who will be a Trivial Pursuit question in 5 years.
Yeah, if you were repping him, what's the first thing you would do other than take away his phone?
You know, there's two kinds of reps, okay? I'll give you an example. My company was doing PR on a red carpet, and there were two celebrities who were kind of buzzed out of their gourds, okay?
Great. Yeah, good times.
Good. Yeah, well, it's a fun red carpet. And I happen to know both the reps really, really well. And I called one rep the next day, and I said, you know, I just want to give you a heads up that so-and-so was on the red carpet last night, and boy, he was not really in a condition to be doing the red carpet, and he just got very closed and clammy and said, I would never say anything like that to my client, and oh my God, that's horrible, and, you know, not anything like that. It was just, I would never go there with my client, not thank you for telling me.
You're
just
kidding.
Though this is horribly awkward, and I said, okay. Bye.
You're welcome.
And the other rep was the legendary, and there's a reason I love her, Liz Rosenberg.
Who's
a music publicist, Madonna and Cher's publicist. And Liz and I are dear friends. And somebody that she was associated with previously was on a red carpet or at an event and not in the appropriate condition. And Liz is like, thank you for telling me. She goes, I've had this problem with this person before, and I need to say something. That's the kind of rep I think I am. If you're going to hire certain people, you're going to hire me. You're going to hire me because I'm a grown-up and I've been doing this a long time. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not if you want somebody to blow smoke up your ass, you can find somebody a lot younger and cheaper and prettier than me. But you know, that's not my job. And if they say, well, you know, I can't handle the truth and you're fired, it's like, fine, I'll move on. But some people are just in it for the bucks or whatever, or they're really afraid and they don't like to ruffle things. So it really depends on the kind of rep you have. I think reps have a responsibility. I really do. I've resigned clients when they didn't listen to my advice because it's just going to reflect badly on me.
So it's pretty clear then what some of these kids have in terms of what type of rep they have working for them.
Well, yeah, but I think they get the reps that they choose to have. There's some kids who have, I mean, I look at Katy Perry and her team, friggin' brilliant, okay?
Yeah.
You know, she does the right thing. She says the right thing. She's in the right places. She knows how to handle it. And she's really, really wise about it. And she has a good team. And you contrast that to Justin Bieber. And it's why I think Katy Perry will have a much bigger career, much longer. Longevity is a hugely important thing, particularly in music, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding. You take a look at Justin Timberlake. It doesn't seem like that guy has ever had a misstep online anywhere.
No, he's pretty brilliant, and a lot of it goes to the rep, and a lot of it goes to the talent, and a lot of it goes to the rep and the team they get, and I think people get the team they want and deserve in many cases.
Now, what is the difference between online reputation management and scrubbing?
All right. Scrubbing means, let's use a political example. You're Rick Santorum, and you Google your name. And something bad shows up. And if you're Rick Santorum, a lot of bad stuff shows up. He was what was referred to as Google bombed.
Yes. What a shame.
Scrubbing means that a lot of us are familiar with the term search engine optimization.
Sure.
That's take our best and brightest stuff, and we put them up front. And if you put in publicist, then I'm going to show up early on in the results. Well, scrubbing is sort of the opposite of search engine optimization. You look at some of the negative results, and you want to make them suppress them to go down. A couple understandings. Number one, you cannot make stuff go away. Bad news, bad information online is like herpes. It's always going to be there, but you also have to understand that 99 point whatever percent don't get past the first couple pages anyway. if you're running for political office and somebody's doing what's called opposition research, deep research on you, absolutely they're going to find it. But for the typical fan, they're not going to find it. So a celebrity who's had a bad incident and has moved on may want to take this and scrub this and push this down and push it down. And you also have to understand that a lot of people go, well, it's the Google algorithm, which is sort of held in high esteem.
Right.
It's a very powerful tool. It's a mathematical formula that helps determine when we put someone's name in, what shows up and where. But what you have to understand is that you can be a publicly traded company who's had 6 years, 24 quarters of positive growth. It's very likely that what happened 7 years ago, your one bad quarter is going to show up in your top few results, because Google likes to reward bad news and salaciousness with the belief that the public responds to that. And it's hard to argue with that. I think the public does respond to that to a certain extent. And so it's not God making these decisions. It's a company who's fallible, whose mathematical formula has certain tendencies. And so scrubbing, we don't really scrub because we, in very rare cases, we work with attorneys and we can delete stuff that's totally inaccurate if we can prove it, et cetera. But what you're doing is more suppressing than scrubbing. The thing I can scrub and delete is some personal information, emails, private information, addresses, cell phone numbers, things like that. And I do that service for a lot of celebrities too, because privacy and security are first and foremost in this world.
How does it, if you do want to do some scrubbing for a celebrity, how does that work?
They call me.
Yeah. And they say what? They say my address is online? What do they say?
They're two different things. One is privacy and one is Google suppression.
Right.
They call me and say, I know you work with this company, Reputation.com, that is sort of the preeminent online reputation manager. Here's my issues. And I go in and I help analyze their issues with some of my scientists and computer engineers up in the Silicon Valley. And we come back with we say we can do, you know, we think we can do this. We think it can take this long, and here's how much it's going to cost. And, you know, with the understanding that's pretty expensive.
Yeah, if I let's just say I need some suppression work done. Let's just say that I have, I don't know, beaten Rihanna in a car. Let's just say that's what I've done. And I'd like people to stop associating me with beating Rihanna in a car. Suppression wise, can I make any of that go away online, and how much would it cost me?
You can bury it. You can help move it down. A couple caveats. Number one, you got to make sure that you're not doing anything that's similar or going to continue to reinforce that.
No, the beatings have ceased. I've ceased beatings.
Bad behavior.
Yes.
Will, you know, push that up.
Right.
If it's over, somebody of the depending on your caliber, a big star is going to spend anywhere from $250,000 over a year to upwards of $1 million a year to suppress this kind of information.
And has this happened? Like recently, have stars come to you and said, suppress something evil that I've done?
Oh, all the time.
Really?
We also have limits. I mean, certain crimes involving children, we just won't touch. You know, if there's active criminal cases and somebody's been convicted, where, you know, we have standards too. I have standards.
It doesn't sound like it's a very common thing for a star to ask you to scrub versus just maintain a reputation.
It's an expensive thing, and maintaining a reputation, it's like an ounce of prevention is a lot cheaper than a pound of cure. I can promise you that.
going back to Bieber for a second, he seems like he'd be a hard person to scrub just because of by the shirtless selfies alone. I mean, if I were Justin Bieber and I came to you asking you to scrub me, what would you charge me?
Every day something new is coming up. with him, and it's hard to do a work in progress like that, and it's hard to fix a problem for someone who doesn't think they have a problem, more to the point. And I think he's the kind of guy who doesn't think he has a problem. So I don't think he's interested in scrubbing. I think he thinks he's the most fantastic musician that ever performed on the face of the earth.
No comment. Okay, final question. How aware is the average... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
What's wrong with you if you don't think he's amazing?
I must be a hater. That must be it. I just must be a hater, Howard. That's my problem. So how aware is the average star of his or her online reputation? Do stars routinely like read about themselves online, or do most of them leave that to teams like you?
It really depends. What I tell my stars is don't read the comments, you know, because comments are akin to writing on a bathroom wall, meaning something will go on TMZ and then 300 people go, oh, she's a slut, or I can't stand that person anyway. And I don't think they're very productive, and I think they can be very toxic. But a lot of my clients nonetheless just want to wallow in that stuff, and I say it's bad for you. I'll let you know if there's a problem when we have to worry about it. A publicist needs to read the comments because you need to see the trends. Are they trending positive? Are they trending negative? Is there anything that comes up consistently that's legitimate cause for concern? It's a management tool. But there are two kinds of stars. People that, you know, put their name in quotes and Google themselves and see what's being said, and people who just don't worry about it. And there's some people who are shockingly indifferent to what it says online, and some people who are very passionate about what it says online.
Howard, this has been a brilliant interview. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this. Best of luck with both your publicity firm, 15 Minutes, and your participation with Reputation.com.
Thanks, Leslie. Here whenever you need me.
And we're back. Lisa. Next question, please.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I'm here.
Yes.
Lena writes via Facebook.
What?
What the hell happened to Portia de Rossi's face? She looks like a different person. It's so distracting.
Now, you've been watching Arrested Development and been less than impressed. I've noticed this because you're flooding Facebook with WTF.
Yes.
You don't like it. Is it because of Portia's face? Just say so. If you're a misogynist and you're a self-hating woman, just say so.
It's not because of her face, although I concur. I was expecting her to look much worse, given what I had heard.
Uh-huh.
And she didn't. She definitely looks different, like she's had some serious work done, but she doesn't look, like, unrecognizable.
All right, well, here's what I found out. For those of you who have started watching the new iteration of Arrested Development, you should also know that the original cast, of course, is back. David Cross, who also looks pretty different. Is anybody talking about what happened to David Cross's gut? No.
Oh, is he thinner?
No, he's fatter. Isn't he fatter?
I don't know.
Yes!
I'm sorry, Leslie. I'm only paying attention to starlets, how much they weigh, and what their faces look like.
Good girl. Michael, Sarah, whatever. Portia de Rossi, who is now, if you believe IMDb, 40 years old. Just gonna let that sink in. Now, many an observer has noted, like Lisa here, that she looks different, and people have been asking me and others whether any plastic surgery has occurred. For what it's worth, again, no comment, E! Online has a source insisting that the actress has had no plastic surgery, and I open quote, she absolutely has not had plastic surgery. Her character is clearly wearing a wig. I'm sorry, was that a quaver in my voice?
Uh-huh.
Which ended up altering her entire look. It's no secret she credits her youthful look to her being a vegan for the last 5 years, and I close that quote. I threw all that, plus a few photos of de Rossi over the past 6+ years to friends of the podcast and plastic surgeon to the stars, Dr. Brent Mulliken. He's awesome. And he tells me that looking at her older pictures from 7 or 8 years ago, her face is fuller, and her face is fuller back then. Okay. And now her face is thinner. That always happens inevitably with age. All right. Looking at her earlobes, which are always a telltale sign of the mini lift. Did you know that, Lisa? No, you didn't.
I didn't.
There is no difference in her earlobes. Those often change when people had what he calls the inevitable mini lift. It made me feel awful. I'm like, really? The inevitable mini lift?
Like, yeah. What age are you supposed to get that done?
Now, she may have had her upper lids done, not sure, but more likely she's had some filler in her lips in the past. If you look at the earlier pictures of her, and you can see them via the MP4 of my podcast, if you have MP4 capability, we are going to show you a couple pictures of Portia over the years. Then Dr. Mulliken says you see fullness in Portia's upper lip, while in later pics, the lip is visibly thinner. So Dr. Mulliken says that not only does she probably have filler in her upper lip in that earlier photo, but, and I quote him now, she's due for more filler.
Harsh.
Yeah. All that said, she has definitely kept herself up and she's doing fantastic. Close quote.
Okay.
Yeah.
One thing that he doesn't mention, I'm not a doctor.
Okay.
But I have looked at pictures of...
You're a reputation doctor. Oh, Leslie, have another sip of beer. Okay, go ahead.
Her nose looks different. Mm. And you remember with Jennifer Grey,
yes,
when all she got was a nose job and she looked like a totally different person?
Yes.
Like, unrecognizably different.
I could have sworn, and again, I'm not a doctor either. So I
allegedly.
And maybe this is just a factor of lighting or a digital alteration or one of many other things that could be going on. But I could have sworn her nose turned slightly down.
Yes.
In earlier shows.
Yes.
And that little downturn, that little Liberace downturn is now gone.
It's totally, that is exactly what it is. And so looking at that, I was like, she's definitely had something done to her nose. So maybe it's just throwing off everything else in her face. But in my medical opinion, I do not believe that it is attributable to her vegan lifestyle and wearing a wig, which... P.S. She had long hair all through Arrested Development, previous seasons anyway, so that's not going to work.
I guess, Lisa, you don't know that eating baby carrots makes your nose small.
You know,
this
I'm
is why
eat
I
some baby
sit
carrots.
In the big chair. When I come back, Lisa and I get all medieval on Game of Thrones. Back after a break.
This space could be all yours. That's right. You thought that there was no place for you on the new Femme Fatale. Well, you're wrong. We're looking for sponsors. Do you want to be a sponsor? Email me at leslie@thefemmefatale.com.
We are back. And as promised, it is time for our Game of Thrones rant. I live tweeted the show this past weekend. And I was having so much fun. And I believe I was slightly tipsy and I was all, gee, that dude with the ear flaps is locking the doors on the wedding hall and trapping everyone inside. What could possibly go wrong? The band just literally changed its tune. What could possibly go wrong? Oh, look, Arya just got there. What could possibly go wrong? What?
Spoiler alert.
What went wrong, Lisa?
If anybody is listening and intends to watch Game of Thrones...
Oh, you know what? No.
And has not...
They don't even deserve the warning. Lisa,
what
by the time this thing airs, it's Tuesday. That went down on Sunday. No mercy. As my girlfriend, Brill Bundy of Zaptuit, an editor at Zaptuit, would say, once it airs... It's done. There are no spoilers.
I'm just saying if somebody is endeavoring to lead a spoiler-free lifestyle and would like to choose this opportunity to stop this podcast and rewind and go listen to all of your podcasts from the very beginning while they get caught up on Game of Thrones, I'm just giving them a warning.
That's like a parent who's like, I'd rather you not cuss in front of my children because I'm trying to protect their ears. So anyway, yeah, okay, fine. Turn off my podcast if you don't want to know about what happens, but...
If you do.
Starting right now, Red Wedding talk galore. Tell me, Lisa, do you think, this is obviously an episode that I've been waiting for quite some time.
Yeah.
Were you pleased with how it was depicted?
I thought that it was depicted well. I've read the books and most of them twice. And I felt like my blood pressure was kind of rising. Over the entire episode, I watched it with one person who knew what was coming and three people who did not.
Okay.
And so I was getting very, very nervous and antsy, and I felt like it was handled well. It was very gory. But yeah, I liked it a lot. I quote unquote liked it.
Here's my thing. In the books, from what I understand, because yes, did I just read the wiki ahead of time when I shouldn't have? Yes. We'll discuss that some other time. From what I understand, there were supposed to be a bunch of wedding tents and all the troops were caught in the tents and the tents were set on fire.
Yes.
And I was kind of hoping to see that. I don't know why I was thinking this. Not that I was disappointed with what I saw, but I was kind of hoping to see more of an epic Battle of Blackwater type scene that was more expensive with 5 or 10 tents on fire at the same time. And Rob actually getting a chance to actually, like an idiot, think he can fight his way out and something bigger. Everything felt like medium shots to me, and I felt like for something as epic as this, we needed a little sweep.
I agree with you. I think that we could have benefited from that. But I think it's, again, like, they really choose how they're going to spend their budget. Uh-huh. Like, this episode also, it was like, and Khaleesi takes a city off camera.
Right, right. That's true.
So you didn't have to worry about spending any budget on that.
I did not even think about Khaleesi taking the city off camera.
Yeah, I was like, cool, then we're going to have a sweet budget for this.
Okay. That's a good point.
In the books, the Red Wedding is a little more dramatic. There's a lot of Grey Wind, Rob's wolf, mm-hmm. getting into the action, ripping some throats out. I think that they probably figured, I don't know, maybe that was too violent.
Maybe it was too expensive.
And, you know, I think that in the book, at least, it's like, here's what happens at the Red Wedding. It's terrible. It's terrible. Meanwhile, other tents burn down and it's chaos. The end.
Oh. Couple dumb questions. That poor oaf of a nephew who had to marry the hot girl who didn't even know she was hot until she saw her.
Yep.
He's not alive now.
It depends on if they're following the books. Spoiler alert for people who want to know if Edmure's alive. Yeah. I believe that he is.
How does he get to stay alive? What, because he was busy fucking?
Yeah, because he's married to the Lord Frey's daughter.
Right, but I know.
And he's always wanted to get his hands on River Run.
But wait. Oh,
so
I see.
If Edmure is not the sharpest tool in the shed, and P.S. he's not,
yeah,
then he would make sure that he had some girl heirs. And not some boys.
But wait a minute. So you're saying that Frey may actually, Walder Frey may actually let the oaf live just so he can get his hands on River Run?
Yeah.
Even though that dude is going to be pissed at him for the rest of his life, may burn that wife in her bed because he's so pissed off. There's no risk at all?
I would say surely there's a risk, but basically he's just hoping that they get busy and have kids. And Wait a minute.
Okay, so let's just pick this out. He's fucking. Okay, and he's like doing it with the hot girl.
Mm-hmm.
And he hears like blood-curdling screams and the sound of blood gushing from necks. And he's like, oh, I'll just keep on fucking.
And maybe we don't know how they're going to
like a gazelle out of that action and maybe go save his.
I don't know how they're going to handle it on the TV show. It could be that it's like, oh my gosh, Roose Bolton came in here and killed Rob. There was nothing that we could do.
And well, he is just about dumb enough to believe it. But then eventually a couple ravens would get around and you'd realize everybody died. Come on.
Well, the one character that is not at the Red Wedding, to my knowledge, is the Blackfish, Catelyn's uncle.
Right.
And he exits to take a piss.
Right.
And so he misses out on the whole excitement.
Yes.
And he is definitely the sharpest tack in the shed. So I'm sure that if anybody's going to figure it out, it's going to be him.
I also don't understand how they would have let him escape. I mean, just because you're out pissing on a tree doesn't mean that there aren't 40 guards out there looking for you, making sure that you don't leave.
He's a total badass.
Yeah, he's so badass that he's named after a fish. So listen, the other thing I'm thinking of is the pregnant woman. Mm-hmm. The wife who was named something completely different in the books, was not at the Red Wedding, right?
In the books, Rob's wife does not attend.
Because that
the
would
Red
have been
Wedding.
Further insult to the phrase, so they keep her behind.
Yeah.
And what does she do? Like join the Silent Sisters and give birth and just fade away and play her harp and vote?
No, it's in the books, it's unclear if she's really pregnant or not. Like people think that she is, but is she really? Her mom might be helping to make sure she's not.
Oh, okay.
Because her mom might be getting a little extra on the side from the Lannisters to make sure that she
doesn't. There's no baby who could claim the North. Okay,
no.
Got it.
So basically, like, it all kind of ends up being brushed under a rug.
Got it. So what else do we have to say about this episode other than...
I mean, I think that there were a lot...
It was gooey and gushy.
Before we get to the Red Wedding, there were a lot of other things. Khaleesi took over a city off camera.
Off camera.
We found out that Bran can warg himself not only into animals, but also into people.
Dumb people.
Apparently no one else can do.
But dumb people. Can he do it with smart people?
He's young. Who knows who he can do it to?
Mm.
So that ends up being
Captain
sort of,
Awesome. He's going to totally end up banging Daenerys.
Oh, yeah. Dario.
Captain
Fabio.
Awesome.
Fabio.
Yeah. Fabio.
With the weird teeth.
Yeah.
With the teeth.
And why are they so white when everybody else's teeth is brown?
I don't know, but they're like, he's got too many teeth and too small a mouth.
Yeah, I don't think Daenerys cares. But you know who does care?
Jorah cares.
He loves her. I'd rather she get with Jorah. But then again, I don't know. Jorah's...
Yeah. The other thing is that I love Arya. And, you know, I think that a lot of people watching The Red Wedding were kind of, as much as you can be about a TV show, like kind of devastated, kind of like unhappy. Because it really shows that like treachery, cruelty, and shitty people win.
Yes.
And, you know, then you look at Arya and you're like, Arya, you know, she may be 11 or however old she is, but she's like tough. She's determined. Maybe she is what we can hang our hopes of for revenge on.
No.
Then you're like, she's a poor 11-year-old girl. I feel sorry for her. And now she's stuck with the Hound.
She's stuck. But you kind of want to see the Arya and Hound show.
Yeah, it's not bad. I also thought in the books, Rob's mom, Catelyn, she doesn't kill Lord Frey's latest wife. She kills one of his kids.
Oh, okay.
Is kid, grandkid?
They're all like, she's the same age as a kid. It doesn't matter.
And I was like, ooh, are they really going to go there? And when she slit her throat and it was like a fine mist of blood came out everywhere, it was kind of awesome.
And then when they slit Catelyn's throat, it was like a gush. What does that mean? Do we read into that or do we not? We don't. Never mind.
We don't, no. But all I will say is I have an idea in my head of how I think they're going to end this coming episode and how they are going to end it. If it happens, if it comes to pass, will be a huge, oh shit, moment that people will be on the edge of their seat until next year.
And it's not the one that we were discussing before the show.
Nope, I know that's going to be next year.
The final thing I'm going to say is, on this topic before I close this topic, is this. A lot of people are sad that Rob died because a lot of the ladies, they like Rob. They like him. You know, it's interesting. My mother thinks he's mean, and you know why she thinks he's mean? Probably because he's mean to his mom, and he only let her come down from her room this episode. But I think
he extended such a nice olive branch to her.
Because he needed it.
Still.
The thing is, I think he was always distracting to me because he would kind of act through his teeth. He would let his teeth do his acting.
Does that mean that Jon Snow acts through his hair?
He acts through his emo eyebrows. You notice his eyebrows are always
kind of
so
like his forehead, his eyebrows and his hairline kind of through there.
His pout as well.
I didn't find that about Robb Stark.
But you know what I'm talking about. You do see it, don't you?
I don't know that I do.
Well, he's dead, so now you'll never see it.
I know, no. Now, ha ha ha, you're dead to me. I'll never see it.
And if they bring him back as a ghost, pissed. Oh, but maybe they'll bring him back as a zombie.
Okay, I'm not even going to answer that.
All right. This concludes this episode of my show. Lisa, how can they reach me?
You can reach the Femme Fatale via Twitter at Femme Fatale Says, or you can email her at leslie@thefemmefatale.com, or you can leave a comment on her blog at thefemmefatale.com, or you can find her on Facebook and you can talk to her there. Also, if you can't stand waiting for her weekly podcast, you should know that she updates her blog with tidbits of deliciousness to keep you tidied over. I check daily.
Oh, wow.
And once again, that's www.thefemmefatale.com.
And how can they reach you, Lisa B?
Oh, you can email me. Well, no, let's not. Don't even email me.
I was going to say, you do know that you're giving out your email.
I know. Well, I was going to, I launched right into my podcast, which is The Nerd Out.
That's right.
You can go to thenerdout.com. We're on iTunes. You can email us, info@thenerdout.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter, @thenerdout.
Instagram?
No, girl.
But you're telling me I need an Instagram account.
We're
going to
get
girl.
Her on it. But yeah, feel free to reach out if you'd like. We'll talk Game of Thrones. I want to hear it. Let's do it.
Thank you all so much for listening. We'll see you next week.